Blog Talk Radio.
So hard to bear, you give me fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night.
Everybody, welcome to Psychics Gone Wild on Wednesday. It's Amy and Inez. Hold one second. Inez, are you there?
Uh-huh. Yes, I am. Welcome.
Hi. Sorry for all the confusion. I cannot get the chat room open.
Great having trouble opening it, too.
So we will have to go without. I will keep checking on it. But we will have usual blog talk, and I've noticed some of the other shows, too, are having little bit of difficulty.
He said that maybe it'll come on if you reload the page now.
Okay, perfect. We will try that. We will reload the page.
It's wonderful to be here. I'm going to be here for 1 hour.
Perfect. We have with us also, and I've got to make sure, hold on 1 second here. Well, I have two of them going, so we're just going to let the we're going to just let it see if it will reload itself. But we're very lucky this evening. Before we get started on Summit, so some of you are calling in for readings. Before we do that, we've got two longtime friends of Psychics Gone Wild on that are going to talk for a little bit. And that is Glenn Cagley and Becky Dietrich. Glenn is a hypnotherapist that I'm going to unmute him, and he can tell his story. But he's been working with Becky. Becky won a – Glenn, are you there?
I am, Amy. How are you?
Hi. How are you, Glenn? Meet Inez. Glenn
Hi,
Cagley
Inez.
And I worked together Hi. In a totally different industry and now have both gotten into healing work. And Glenn, why don't you talk a little bit about your book that's getting ready to come out, and we'll talk about how Becky won an opportunity to do some work with you, and then we're going to have Becky on, and we're going to talk about the whole experience, because it's really been powerful. Becky and I have known each other. We got to know each other in the Widow Circle of Facebook, and found our way over to the healing kind of things. But I'm, as always, talking too much. Glenn, tell us about your work.
I'm sorry, you broke up. Tell me about the book you said.
Tell us about your work and the book.
Okay, yep. So my work is completely holistic. I'm sorry. It's the non-medical side of healing that everybody needs, and I do most of my work, probably 60% of my work, I do in nursing homes. I'm very blessed and fortunate to work for a couple private nursing homes as a per diem employee, if you will, as a holistic practitioner, to work with not only their staff for stress and anxiety and to keep things kosher in the workplace, harmonious in the workplace. I also, about a year ago, started working on the residents, and that has just been a phenomenal opportunity. I just can't even tell you how blessed I am as a practitioner to be able to do my work and to do it often in a field that I love, working with the elderly. So I use my holistic practice to bring them to a different emotional state at this last stage of their life. I mean, they're in a nursing home. They're not leaving, and they know this. I mean, everyone knows when you get to the stage in life where you're in a nursing home, you know that that's the last place you will ever reside in this physical world. So there is a lot of stress, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of grief, a lot of disappointment, a lot of anger, feelings of abandonment. So I work with all those emotions to kind of stabilize them for these individuals. I call them my elderly friends, so that they can at least enjoy whatever time they have left in a harmonious way.
On mute a little bit, but if you can talk a little bit about the work you did with Becky, and then we'll bring Becky on.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Back in March, I think I was on in March, for the beginning of March, I offered to give my services out, my program out, including me as the guide. My program is called Create Desire, and Desire is an acronym for the manifestation process, which is declare it, express it, see it, intend it, release it, and expect to experience it. And that's a component in my book that's coming out soon, and Becky was fortunate enough to win. I worked with her over a couple-month period, and I can't. can't even tell you, she's not the same person from day one. It is truly remarkable how she transformed herself by using the tools, by committing to the tools that I gave to her. She did the work. I guided her. I coached her. It's my program. But she committed to a daily task. And she did so for over 40 days, and she literally is not the same person. And even her inner reflection journals tell me she's a different person. I mean, in the beginning, the very first day when I met her, she was she wanted a relationship. And in her opinion, a relationship was going to bring happiness into her life. By the end of our 40 days working together, she literally said that my life is fulfilled. There isn't anything more I need. If I meet a guy, that'll just be the icing on the cake. But I have a fantastic life, right, just as it is. And that's how she transformed. She went from feeling, I don't want to use the word desperate, but she went from feeling, I will use say that word for a lack of another one. She went from a place of feeling almost desperate, I need a guy in my life, to my life is perfect just the way it is, and a guy would be good, but not necessary. And she can tell you her transformation as well, but that's how I saw her blossom, by doing my program on a daily basis. And it was just, it's beautiful. I love the work I do. I love the work that I've created, and I love to see how people change.
And let's bring Becky on. Becky, I wanted to get you on because I know Glenn talked about your desperation, but I want to make sure that we clarify that it wasn't desperate like desperate. It was just desperate. We shared the same journey. We lost our husbands, and, you know, it's very awkward to face middle age and not have dated in a long time. And to go back out there and try to move on. So, and it was more than just the dating, but the dating was the thing that, you know, for Becky and I both sort of became, you know, once we did our grieving work, got our lives back on the right track, it did become, you know, for both of us, it was kind of, you know, we were good humored about it, but it was very frustrating. And then both Becky and I would exasperate the situation by calling Blog Talk Radio shows, basically asking, when will I get laid? When will I get paid? That's the mantra I call it. And it was, you know, and it's like this one said Tuesday, this one said Wednesday, this one said he'd have red hair, this one said he'd have purple hair. And I think that Becky and I both got to the point where it was like, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this picture. Unlike, I'm still playing that game. But Becky worked with Glenn, and now I'm going to shut up again. I'm going to put the phone on mute, and Becky, I'm going to let you talk a little bit about your journey after I just told my version of your story.
Hello?
Are you there, Becky?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, we can. I'm sorry. I'm actually... usual Blog Talk style, there's always something. I am actually broadcasting from a Crown Victoria, and I'm not under arrest because it looks like a cop car. I go to an event and time, you know, it's big light so late. So here I am broadcasting live from my mother's Crown Victoria. But again, enough about me. I'm putting myself on mute. So, Becky, share away.
Yes. Well, what Amy said was kind of true on a lot of stuff. I was, you know, been married 20 years and widow almost 4. It'll be on Saturday, my 4th anniversary. But I wasn't fulfilling my heart desire. I was running, you know, crazy. I was talking to every psychic that could tell me when the next man was coming into my life. And I was going crazy. And then I listened to the night that Glenn was on, and he changed my life totally. I needed to I didn't know who I was. I lost track of who I was. And I needed to, the big thing is I needed to love myself. And I forgot how. And so, and the meaning and purpose of life, and too, and it was all, everything came within me. And when he hit me, it was some amazing classes and stuff. And I thought I healed, but I didn't heal. I just surface healed. So, and Glenn has helped me so much. And knowing now I have a purpose, and which I knew I always had a purpose, but he, you know, he showed me, gave me the tools. And I work on it every day.
Well, Becky, I am so proud of you.
I'm going to stay on mute, but I'm going to let, if you two could just spend a little bit of time, you know, just talking about the process. But again, I'm going to stay on mute because, A, I talk too much, and, B, I'm in a parking lot.
Yep. Becky, I have to tell you, it's great to hear your voice again. I'm so proud of
what you... I know,
I'm
just talking to you on our classes.
Exactly. And I'm really happy for you, because the beauty of it is, the beauty of all my work, everything I do, including my book that will be out in a couple of weeks, my program is going to be an online course in a couple months, but everything that I try to do is never for any... It's about personal empowerment, not for
right.
someone to need to use me as a crutch for themselves, for me to guide them to their source of empowerment. I have my own source of empowerment. Becky has her own
right.
source. And that's what all my work is about. It's about guiding and directing the person back to their source, their wellspring, their reservoir, so they always know where it is under any circumstance. And Becky just worked on the relationship side of it. And to be honest with you, what she got out of it is the most profound and beautiful relationship with herself. And now she has the tools and the know-how that no matter whatever she wants to manifest going forward, she knows how to do it. She knows that it's a component of who she is. It's a component of who she is inside, how she brings that expression out into this world, and then it manifests from her expression of who she already is, not from a place where she thinks she's lacking.
True.
And she did incredible. And one thing, though, that I did do for Becky that I generally wouldn't do, that I don't do for anybody else, is we noticed a couple sessions in that being a widow, that the loss of her husband 4 years ago to this Saturday, the loss of her husband really was impacting all of her decision-making and her grief and her sorrow. So we did a side session where we just worked. I have a beautiful hypnosis session where you reconnect to your loved one, and we reconnected to Bob, right, Bob?
Yeah.
We reconnected to Bob, and Becky had just a... I wish I had a video camera for how she responded that evening. It was unbelievable. But she reconnected to Bob. She was able to have an exchange of words and emotions with him, and then she was able to find the strength to part at this time in her life, because he is somewhere else that she's not right now. So they parted ways for now. And I think that was a turning point for Becky with this program that really then gave her the permission to really get into this program and tear it up. Would you say that's fair, Becky?
Yes. I totally, after that day, it was totally different. Like you said, you could see my whole body moving. It was like I had gremlins in my body.
Yeah, and you didn't know that. When I asked you afterwards, because you told me all your grief and sorrow was in your stomach. When I asked you, and she was just literally like poltergeist coming out of the chair. And afterwards, I said to her, I go, did you feel that? And she goes, what are you talking about? And I explained it to her what I witnessed on Skype, because it was via Skype, and it was just incredible. It was just the grief and sorrow that she buried, that emotion that's alive, that she buried in her stomach, and she knew where it was. She told me right from the get-go, and she gave permission for that grief and sorrow to release, and let me just tell you, it just moved through her body like I've never seen before. Yeah. And an offshoot for Becky is, she said that she's, for the last 4 years, she's been using a sleep aid every evening, and this, now she's not even using sleep aid. She's sleeping very soundly now. So that's another good feature she got out of this program. She's sleeping better.
Yes. It was amazing, this whole thing. I mean, I miss it, but I'm still doing it by myself. But I like
good.
This
Did you?
Session.
Good. I sent you the about a 14-day bonus. Did you get that?
Yes. Yep. I have
okay,
that
good.
Too.
Good. Awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
So I mean,
and that's the beauty. I mean, we had a great rapport each Tuesday evening, Becky. And I always tell everybody, I'm only a thought away. You need
yes.
me? You call me, you text me, you email me, you FaceTime me, you Facebook me, whatever you need to do. But if you need just a refresher or a clarification or some more guidance, you had to get a hold of me.
Right. And you can use it. The thing is, I've been using it for other things, too, not just on, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know,
you can use it for.
Me. I don't need to go into the meltdowns anymore and, you know, spin circles. And.
Yeah.
I know how to do it now.
Yep. You seriously.
So I have a question,
Becky. Yep.
So you've gotten, you know, because a lot of people do call in for readings, and I'm just as guilty as everybody else. I just always, you know, want to know, and I think I rely too much on my dead people. I really do rely too much on them for things that I should have inside myself. And I'm wondering, since then, how's your relationship with your various spirit guides and, you know, been
well,
you since
know, you... Well, my inner guide, I still don't know its name. They won't tell me their name. The person will not release it. But I'd have to say I'm different. I trust myself, and you know, I go with it. Rather than to always second-guess everything, I was a person I always second-guess, and then I would have to... Like I said, I was one of those guilty of going to every psychic and, you know, not trying to solve it myself.
So,
yeah, I mean, and that's the thing about Blog Talk, and I'm not, you know, it's wonderful to be able to reach out and keep a connection
and
with our loved ones.
And I'm not saying it's not good, but I just, you have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you have
and
to
Inez,
be very
please
careful.
Chime in here.
All right. Yeah.
But I wanted to ask. But I wanted to ask, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead on this. I'm sorry.
Oh, I think it's exciting the work you do. And in my past, I've done work with older adults, too, as a geriatric mental health specialist. So I'm aware of like, the beautiful results that you get with reminiscence and life review, and wondered if that's a part of your program at all, for when people are coming closer to, you know, to passing over to the other side, having that life review.
What I do, well, I don't do a life review, but what I do,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it's, I mean, I wouldn't call it a, I think that's a terminology that you specifically used, and had a, probably a method to make, you know, a method and a technique. I mean, we do review some past issues, but at the same time, with the elderly population that I've noticed and worked with, they don't really need to be taken back. I don't think they need to be taken back and at this stage of the game and being made to relive something that was painful. It's more just reconciling some things on a very broad stroking reconciliation without really pinpointing the origin of it, so that they don't have to go back and relive those awful memories. And they've suffered some things that we can't even imagine.
Well, I wasn't thinking so much of the awful memories, but of the things that they did, their hopes and dreams that really gave them juice, and then maybe
right.
the hopes and dreams that they had wanted to achieve and might want to achieve in the next lifetime.
I have not done that, but I will be there.
I think a lot of it has to do with reframing what has happened. Instead, you know, so many of us have spent time on the therapist couch, you know, oh, my parents, you know, this, that. But to reframe, you know, we really can change our path by changing our mind. And it sounds like
yes. That's
work that both of you do. And it sounds like, Becky, that's kind of what you did, was changed your mind about a lot of things. Everything's still
yes.
the same. It's just you look at it from a different vantage point.
Right.
And I think she also realized that her source, everything that she requires is within her, and she's just not looking outside of herself anymore. But I don't want to speak for her, but that's what I got out of our time together. She's no longer searching for anything outside of her. She needed to reconcile, heal, and begin the process of loving herself. And now she's bringing this love out into the world, where it's manifesting in what she's doing with herself, and hiking and going out with friends and with her kids. And that's what I got out of it, but I don't want to speak for Becky.
Yes, that's so true. It's all there. I mean, I needed to love myself first before I could even love anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so finding, you know, I didn't want to get hurt again when I was in the dating scene and everything. So, I mean, I was a basket case. Every time you turn around, I'd meet someone else, and I had to find the fault right away before they could hurt me, you know, and then I stopped the dating for a while, and when I did this class, I wasn't seeing anybody, and I really focused on myself.
Because what happens is, and Becky learned this through the process of my program, Create Desire, working with me, but what happens is, until you heal those aspects of you that are hurting, you're using that same vibrational value to create your life experiences and your relationships. So it might have a different phase, but it's got the same theme. The person has the same theme that annoys her and tweaks her and that upsets her, that why, you know, where she, you know, the relationship wouldn't last. Because we're making decisions, and we have to heal ourselves and love ourselves and bring that out into our relationships. So Becky, basically what she did is she cut that vibrational string or that energetic string that she no longer is connected to any longer. So the relationships she's going to create going forward are from this new place that she created within herself that comes from a much deeper and more powerful source of self-love. That's what she's going to start creating. She just literally severed that old string that no longer serves her. She won't go back. She can't go back to it. It's gone. It's over.
Yes, so true. It was very unhealthy. I had to go up to that next level of vibration. You know, I had to go up. And that's
mm-hmm.
where I'm going to, you know,
and
I want
exactly
to meet someone at that level. I don't want to meet someone at that lower, you know, vibration level.
Mm-hmm.
I just,
and
yeah.
Have you started to meet
more
evolved
was that?
People?
What was that?
Have you started to meet people that you feel are resonating at a higher
there
vibration?
Yes, there have been some people, but you know, I'm just talking to people right now. I'm not gonna rush into things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still doing my healing and, you know, trying to figure out what I really want. And you know, that person's gonna just land there. I'm not gonna have to search.
Yeah, and now isn't that a lot
so
different than your past pattern?
Go ahead, Dawn.
Yeah.
Well, isn't this approach that you just described completely 180 degrees different from your past approach?
Yeah.
3 months ago.
I mean, I was searching them, and I was searching everybody, looking at every dating site you could think of.
Yeah. Because you're now in a higher vibration of self-love, and you're coming from a higher source within yourself, and now there is no rush. There's no reason to go out and just jump into something that doesn't feel right. You now have a new gauge. If it doesn't feel right, you're not even going to begin the process anymore like you used to.
Right. So, yeah, I would go out and just date someone just to be dating someone. And now it's like, no. You know, I don't have the time for that. It's about me.
So I wanted to ask Becky one thing earlier, because when I do client work, when my last session, we're always able to find out the name of your primary guide. We all have a primary spirit guide. And Becky's wouldn't give up the name at all. But Becky said something earlier, but I wanted to just clarify it. So do you, Becky, still feel his or her presence and know that they're the source of your answers, even
yes.
without the name? Even without
yes.
the name, okay. Gotcha.
But I don't know what their name is. It kind of makes me a little angry.
Glenn, let me ask you something. Why is it important to know the name? Is it just so it's more personal, or because I'm sort
yeah.
of speaking out loud here
with it.
That it's almost better not to know the name, because I know in my work with the spirit, you know, it's always like I just want to know which one it is, you know, instead of it just being the loving universal energy, you know, instead of it just being, you know, I just want to personalize it, which the personalization kind of seems like it's more of a human characteristic, more of a lower vibration thing. So could you just speak to why, what the value is of knowing?
Yep. Yep, that's a really great question. I was in a very similar situation like Becky is, where I knew that I had the resource within me. I could ask the question literally within seconds, get an answer, and I still can today. I love that aspect of where I'm at. But when I found out the name, which was probably in early January of only this year, it just felt different. It actually raised my, because it was a personal connection, I do have a name now, it's almost like it raised my vibration, because now I know that I can literally say the spirit's name to get, you know, to ask my question and have dialogue with. For me, it actually raised it. And I've worked with clients, and they really like knowing the name of their primary guide. But Becky's still having a great response, not knowing.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it's really working for you, Becky. And maybe the name's not so important.
Right.
Yeah,
for
but
you.
I still would like to know.
Yeah, and it wasn't important to me. And to be honest with you, Inez, I always would have dialogue and conversation and get my answers. And then one particular day, it was back in January, I literally said, just like this, I said, by the way, what is your name? What do I call you? And the name came to me in a flash. And it's like, even though all these years I've been having this dialogue, I never even thought to ask for its name. And then just one morning, I said, what do I call you? What is your name? And I got the name within a flash. My other guy's name is Pandu, and it's Sanskrit. That means guide, which I thought was pretty cool.
You know, for me, when I journeyed back and I met my guides, I found that they introduced me, you know, that when I met them, I knew their name. It was
okay.
Part of meeting them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds like maybe
you know
to know the name is to know that it's something other than a thought, you know, because we spend so much time and make exercise so much of our free will based on our thoughts, which are really a function of our ego, which is when things so often run afoul of, you know, what the universe has in store for us. So I'm just sort of thinking this through here. So, Becky, I want to ask you, you know, how do you see this impacting the other aspects of your life, like, you know, work and, you know, the aspects of your life that we're not in disarray, or we're not causing you any kind of
well, now I know I can use this program for anything, you know, like, you know, just like I was telling you, I kind of just, you know, what that I told you last weekend about my grandmother, you know, I know she's getting older and everything. So that was another thing that just kind of, you know, upset everything of life for like one day. I was in tears.
Mm-hmm.
But I just went back. And, you know, and I just kind of listened to my audios and stuff like that. And I was able to get back on, instead of pity me, my grandma's going to, you know, her time is, she's going to be crossing over soon. But I was able to refocus and pull my strings back and, you know, be able to do it. I'm not letting little things bother me like I used to. It's very centering. I have to go back and say I love myself, and you know I can only do my best, and I have to manifest different things if I want it. And if I want to have a good day, I'm going to have a good day. I got to stay away from all the negative. And
so it sounds like you're really in that place of knowing yourself at a deep soul level, and you're really feeling a fuller
existence. But it was just like clouded over. I needed to find it again. It's kind of like, you know, brushed it off. And
I feel like your aura is really lighted up, and you're feeling
and
very
alive.
And that's
what he did. He made me get up to the next vibration. You know, I'm up where I was really low when I first met Glenn. I was just, like he said, I was running in circles desperate.
I didn't mean to.
Okay, that's how I felt. Amy will even tell you. Come on. I mean, let me tell you how many men I met and all this stuff. She lost track of what their names were. And she'd be like, who is he now?
I mean, Becky's got the journals, because you journal every day. And, and you know, she would share the ones I would ask her for, because I would need some to do some of my work. And literally, her first couple was all about, I need this. I need a guy in my life because he'll make me happy, you know, because I haven't been happy. I mean, she literally was coming out of a real negative space. And by the end, I mean, and then one of the questions is, so what do you think is standing in the way and preventing you from achieving this goal? And in the beginning, it was always me. I sabotage everything. I'm not happy, blah, blah, blah. I find fault in people. Remember all those terms you used? And then at the end it was, so what do you think is standing in the way and preventing you from achieving this? And literally she said, nothing. She said, as a matter of fact, my life is complete. I'm fulfilled, is what she told me her last session. I already am fulfilled. And that is the energy, the vibration, the space that we create from. We don't create from that space of feeling lack. We create from that space of already feeling fulfilled. And that's where she's at right now.
This is what I said when I did it. I said, I see myself as a whole now. I'm an amazing person. I'm not looking for faults or blaming others for my own action. I am the only one that can reach my heart's desired goals.
That's incredible.
Yep.
And
who will benefit from my heart desire? I'm the only one. I will benefit from my heart desire. No.
And, you know, at some point, there's going to be somebody that may come into the picture that's very evolved and at a level where they're not needing to lean on anybody, but where there is that mutual attraction. You know,
right.
You're not ruling that out either, right?
No, I'm not, but I'm not looking like I was before.
Mm-hmm.
See, like before, I needed, I had to have it, I wanted it. If it happens, it happens. I'm fulfilled now.
Yeah, and what's going on really, Becky, is you're not looking anymore. You're living now. You're living.
Yeah, I'm living the now instead of the future.
Right.
Before
you were sitting idle, waiting with bated breath, looking. And now you're living. I mean, you're going hiking and going out with girlfriends and doing things with your kids. I mean, you've completely changed your whole entire lifestyle and outlook of your lifestyle.
Right. So correct. And like Amy and I were both got caught up into, we kept listening to some of these psychics tell us different things. It was like, so, you know, we were living our future. We forgot to live our now. You can't live your future if you don't have a now. You can't have a future if you don't have a now.
Well, one thing one thing I hear a lot of women saying is, well, I invested 3 years in him and he left me. And I'm like, well, you know, wasn't there some pleasure in the moment? Isn't there something that you can take? Aren't you living in the present? Because it's not about you know, if you're in a relationship, I think it's important that the quality of the relationship be positive, that you'd be getting something out of it rather than living for the future.
Right,
and
always maybe,
looking
maybe
like it's an investment.
I agree with you on this, because maybe that relationship is only going to last 3 years, so make it a great 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
yes,
don't always
Instead
be judging it.
Instead of it coming from a place of loss, it's like coming from a place of, okay, that lesson was learned, that this relationship is no longer useful to me the same way,
mm-hmm.
you know, we throw out sponges when they're starting to deteriorate and things like, you know, things like that. But we just hold on to, you know, not even thinking that that it's going to change. It's just that we've got so much time invested into it. I mean, I did an exercise with, it was actually with Neil Donald Walsh at a seminar that I went to, where he had us kind of extract our soul from our body and feel the energy associated with it, and then take our soul back in time and take our soul into the future. And it was really interesting because my aunt sit with it right here, right now. And I had this huge, huge future. I mean, it would just like my hands would just go out and I can still feel the tingling. But when I had to sit with the right now, my soul was like the size of a golf ball. So there wasn't enough energy being created in my now to have the fuel to have this future that was my entitlement. And
exactly,
I think that's what a lot of people do, is they don't realize that their now is whatever their circumstances are. Their now is really the fuel to get to the future. You know, there's so many people who are having real bad economic situations, or, you know, health crises or something like that, where they really feel like they stop living because these circumstances have come upon them, and that they start living again when these circumstances pass. But if we don't live in our current circumstances, even if they're not all bright and rosy, we won't get, we will just, suddenly we'll be in the future and we'll still be in that same place. So really urge everybody, our listeners, and, you know, Inez can only be here for till 10, so we should probably try to take some callers and do a few readings. And then if Becky and Glenn, if you can stay on once Inez leaves, we'll talk a little bit more about this. But for anyone who's calling in with any kind of question as far as the reading goes, I hope that you'll keep Becky's experience in mind and really realize that, well, our spirit guides and heaven and nature just have all these wonderful things in store for us. It really also requires us here on Earth, in our bodies, to take action. And that, sometimes the action doesn't even have to be that big. Sometimes the action could be as small as taking a shower, or, you know, just showing up and just become willing to see your circumstances as an opportunity as opposed to a disability. Would you guys agree with that?
Totally.
Yeah.
Good. So I'm going to put Glenn and Becky on hold for a minute, and we still don't have chat, unfortunately. I refreshed in new windows, and I even tried a different browser, and we will try to take some of these calls here. So thank you both so much, and we'll be back with you. And we've got one person here who has been holding for 1 hour.
Okay.
So thank you so much, 310. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I'm good. Hi.
Good. My name's Jordana. I'm calling from Chicago. I've spoken with you once before.
Oh, great. And how are you, Jordana?
I could be better.
Okay.
But that's okay. You know, trying to think on positive thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering what you're seeing as far as, like, what's in store for me tomorrow, career-wise.
All right. And I'm sensing that you are you going to an interview tomorrow?
No, but I'm going to be recruiting people for my business.
Oh.
I'm in multi-level marketing. So that
Okay. Kind
of makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. So recruiting people for your business, I'm getting the sense that that you need to visualize it a little bit and
okay.
get a picture of how you want it to look.
Okay.
And when you do that, when you take a moment and feel where you are with it, what do you see around you? What's going on?
Lots of people,
mm-hmm.
Talking to people and, you know, and then other people coming up because they're interested.
Yes. And do you see you really building up an interest and...
Yes.
Yeah. Great. And being able to pick the people that are going to... you know, really breathe life into your business and help you
right.
move forward in the best way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I sense you're really, you are really ready for this, that it is going to go very well, that you're really in that place of trust. And I'm also sensing that you are deeply invested in this particular business. Is that right?
I am, yeah.
Wonderful. I have a feeling that this is something that you've been working up to for a long time, and you're really, it gives you a strong feeling of autonomy and purpose.
Yes.
And that when you visualize the long-term, you know, your long-term work with this company, that you see that success, and you're really wrapping... Wonderful. And, you know, you may want to sometimes ground to the earth and really, you know, wrap yourself in those energies of the earth, that gold and silver and all the minerals coming up through your crown and receiving that that divine light from above. So you're going to be completely, you know, surrounded by the white light, connected to spirit and source. And really going to be at your very best, really feeling that healing energy space and attract the people that are at that same level of resonance.
Okay.
I sense you're going to be doing very well.
Yeah, I got a real strong message that to look for people and make your decisions about people based on how they make you feel. Don't focus so much on what they say or what their resume looks like and their prior experience, but how you feel, and also to
mm-hmm.
look for people with a sense of humor, because that means
okay.
that they've got a light heart. Now that, but be careful for people who are full of sarcasm, because sarcasm is not humor. The roots of the
right.
word sarcasm is to rip the flesh off, and people who are sarcastic are really do not feel love. It's fear. Sarcasm is very fear based kind of emotion. But you know, look for people who that come with a sense of humor. Not that you're looking for a comedian like Lucille Ball or, you know, a slapstick comedian or something like that. But the people who can see the humor in things, I find her humor is very spiritual quality. And often in the business world, we forget about it because we think business is so important and, you know, and everybody. That's why we all dress the same and say the same buzzwords and things like that. So, again, just see, you know, pay attention. Instead of usually when we're interviewing, we're paying attention to the other person. Let the person, what they're saying, just kind of flow over you. Gauge how you're feel, you know, gauge how you're feeling. Pay close attention to your gut and, you know, how you feel after they've said, you know, just pay attention to yourself instead of to the people that you're interviewing. That's really what I was directed to share with you on this. So
I have one other thing that I'd like to share too.
Oh, go ahead, please.
I just wanted to say that I think too, see how they fit in with your vision. I think that's very important. Your vision of the business.
No, you do see, like, it being successful tomorrow as far as, like, me hitting the goals that I need to hit?
Yes.
It is. Okay, so that's good. Wonderful.
Were you the caller with the goals last week that you had to reach a number?
I am, yes.
How did that work out?
It went okay, but then a family situation happened, and that I wasn't expecting. So, like, I'm not really taking that into account because I know things can happen, you know, and it's all on, you know, willpower and all of that. So I'm going to try again tomorrow, and that's why I was calling in. So I was just wanting to see what you guys were seeing as far as, like, if it was going to be successful or not.
Okay, well, I'm glad that I asked you because I recognized your voice. And just know that that family situation was not an accident because that family situation was supposed to be, and well, I hopefully it's been positively resolved. That was a big lesson, a lesson for you to, you know, like you did, and you, you know, reacted so well to that, you know, life happens and sometimes you have to take certain things in stride. And things like that, so that because you do sound like you're very, very competent and very, very goal-oriented, but that you're going to experience and be able to enjoy your successes more when you can look at the big picture and not just that number. So,
absolutely. I agree. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for holding the
hour. Of course. Thank you.
Good. We look forward to speaking to you again soon. She was saying something and I pushed the button. But anyway, that was great. And she did. She held for an hour.
Wow.
Okay. The next person here and I'm keeping an eye on the time. Is 716. 716, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, 716.
Hi.
Your name?
Tammy.
Hi, Tammy. And what's your birthday, Tammy?
11/13/68.
And how can I be of help, or how can we be of help? You?
Well, I want to know how Paul is going to fit into my life from this point on, like if you see things going anywhere between him and I.
All right. I'm feeling like Paul is someone that is dear to you, that is this a dear friend?
Somebody that I was seeing.
Pardon?
He's somebody that I was seeing.
Uh-huh. And I feel like there's been a falling out or I feel like there's some distance between you.
Uh-huh.
And how long have you not been speaking? Or
pardon?
How long has it been since you last communicated with him?
He's kind of been in and out of my life for the last year and a half.
Okay. I pulled a few cards for you, and what I was looking at was that he's really feeling like he's thinking of you. I sense that there's been some changes, that he felt like he needed some time to be alone and to focus on himself.
Okay.
And is that what he told you?
Well, sort of. There's a little bit more to it than that, but.
Okay. I'm feeling like there's a bit of an obstacle that's in the way, that's
uh-huh.
making it hard to spend time with him.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like he's a little bit workaholic, too. But I also sense that you are going to start communicating again. And I have a sense that he will, at some point in the future, reach out, you know, and just want to talk and see where things are at.
Uh-huh.
What are you picking up?
The sense that I'm getting is that this, you know, distance that was created was not created, that you really didn't play a big role in it. It's just really part of his journey and him not really having. He doesn't know what he wants. He doesn't know what he wants. And when you don't know what you want, the only thing you want is more. So you will just go out and chase after every bright, shiny thing that you find, mm-hmm. thinking that's what you want because it caught your eye for a brief second in time. So mm-hmm. I feel that he is, like Inez was sharing, he's going through a learning process and of trying to figure out what it is that he wants, but without this clearness. So really, you can't really help him decide what it is that he wants. But I think that it's important in that during this time, it's clear to me as well that you have not heard the last from him. I just feel like he's really lost, but it's not like a sheepish lost. It's like lost, so he's just like running all over the place. That you're clear on what you want, that you're going to be able to kind of teach that to him. And it's not going to be teaching like you're going to sit down and tell him everything that's wrong with him, but it's going to be you're going to teach by attraction. He's going to see that you're clear on, you know, that you have the gift of discernment, and he's just chasing after every bright, shiny thing that that catches his attention, thinking it's gold and half the stuff is just, you know, crumpled up tinfoil and things like that. So, you know, use this time, you know, hopefully you were listening to the earlier part of the show when Becky was talking about her journey. But if you use this time to get clear on what it is that you want, about other things. It doesn't have to be about him. Take the focus off of him for a while and focus on the other things that you want in life and develop your gift of discernment. You're going to be able to convey that to him through your confidence and through your aura and energy. And then, you know, your reconciliation won't be awkward and it won't get off to like a, oh, I can't believe you did this. You know, it'll just be like, oh, wow, okay, this is what, look at, this is, you know, it, have a hard time finding the exact words, so hopefully that makes sense to you. But it's clear to me that it wasn't like he chose something else over you. It was just because he has no idea what he wants. He's just in that, I just want something else. I just want something else. He's just, you know, and that.
I can too that he's wanting to spend some time with himself, you know, like that he may have, I think he needs some time alone, you know?
Isn't a year and a half long enough?
Well, you know, I'm getting that he's somebody that is very intelligent, maybe a little bit extroverted, introverted, and that he has, I feel like he has a need for time alone to pursue some of his life dreams, but I think that he's going to come back in. And I just wanted to say if anyone would like to order a reading from me, you can check out my website, nrgpsychics.com, or you can call me at 360-878-8851. I have to say goodbye, everyone. But I really enjoyed reading for you, and I really enjoyed the show. And thank you, everyone, so much. Bye now.
Thanks, Inez, and we'll see you next week. Thanks so much for bearing with us, and hopefully next week we'll have the chat working again. So have a good week. I can't wait
Great.
To see you.
Great. You
next.
Too.
Bye. Okay, hold on 1 second. Someone is... Hold on, I'm sorry, I just have to transition here. Okay, I'm going to bring Glenn and Becky back on. And, someone else hung up, but I was 857 been holding for a reading. I was going to have Glenn, give some insight. So welcome back, everybody. And 857, who are we speaking to?
Hi, my name is Melissa. How are you?
Hi, Melissa. How are you tonight?
I'm well. I was
holding.
Thank you for having me. My question is, I was asked to take in my step child, and I'm wondering so that they could go to school, and I'm wondering if this is a smart thing to do.
Could you say that? I missed some of it because you're talking a little bit low. You're talking about your step child coming to move
I was asked to allow my step child to move in with me, and I'm wondering if this is a smart thing.
Glenn, do you want to touch on that a little bit?
Yep. Could you just repeat that one more time? I want to make sure I'm clear on what you're asking.
Yeah. I was asked if my stepchild could move in so that
yep.
they could go to school, and I'm wondering if this was a smart idea.
Okay. Okay. I don't have any psychic abilities per se, but what I would do, but you have the answer inside of you. I mean, sit with yourself for literally 5 minutes and just close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, have your phone off, maybe room not dark, a little bit of music in the background, and ask yourself that very same question out loud. And maybe you can even have a piece of a paper in front of you. You can write it down first, and then you can take a few deep breaths, your eyes closed, really relax your body, and just ask yourself that question out loud. Is your first name Melissa?
Yeah.
Okay. Just literally say, Melissa, do you think it's a good idea to have child name move into this house? And just sit with that question for 5 minutes. You will get your answer. And generally what I have learned from my own working with this is the first answer you get within the first few seconds is generally the answer from inside of you. And then anything after that is usually your analytical mind feeding you nonsense. So go with what comes up from inside of you, your heart, your gut. after you literally, physically ask that question out loud to yourself.
Okay.
You will get your answer, and then Amy can wrap around using her medium service sources.
Okay.
Hold on one second. Somebody was asking me something in the Facebook chat. I sense that it's something that you really want, that it's something that you really, really want to do, because you're just a very loving and caring and compassionate person. But you know, just from the tone of your voice, is that you have a lot of skepticism in it. Just the fact that you're calling and asking about it, you are not really sure that it is the right thing to do. But now we can take every situation, you know, we tend to in this 3D world that we operate in, we tend to look at things as being good or bad and right or wrong and different things like that. But every situation can be a good situation. So I feel like you're really going to, I feel like the one thing it's going to do is going to put a real strain on your relationship with your partner. And that you really need to, if it is going to, I think it's going to put a real strain. I think it's the right thing to do, because I think that there's going to be a real strain on the situation, you know, the discomfort and the disease or whatever you want to call it has already been created just by the possibility of them coming to live with you. So you're going to have to find your way through this, whether he actually moves in or not. So I think it's really going to be important for you and your husband to get on the same page about this and be in agreement and be operate as a single force. Otherwise, I feel like he's going to be trying to play the two of you against each other and going to kind of cause a lot of, so I think it's really, really important. I don't think it matters whether, what I'm sensing right now is that this situation has just landed there, and you're going to have to find your way through it, whether he moves in or doesn't move in. So I feel strongly that if you and your husband are get into agreement about this and act as a single unit, even if this is different from the way you ordinarily handle your relationship, and even if this is contrary to your nature, which I think it might be a little bit, that it's going to be, that's the only way that it's going to work out positively, because your stepson's going to learn a very important lesson about that he can't manipulate his way to getting what he wants, and that he really isn't, because a lot of times, especially stepchildren, they try to use their power to get love, you know, to get love, to get attention. They want love, but they try to get attention, and they get it by ripping situations apart and ripping the people apart. So I feel really strongly that it will be positive for everybody, and that's the only way it can be positive, is if it's good for all the parties that are involved. If you and your husband have a cohesive mindset about this, and boundaries and rules and things like that, and you act as a single unit, because that's going to give your stepson no alternative than either become part of that single unit or, you know, seek housing elsewhere, because he refuses to participate. Because so often in this day and age, families, even families where, you know, all the children are the birth children, you know, the traditional family, mother, father, 2.5 kids that have the same parent, don't operate as families. You know, they need to operate as a tribe. So I feel like if you and your husband kind of take on a tribe mentality about this that is going to be a very, very positive, it's going to be very positive for everybody. It's going to give them not just resolve this situation, but it's going to give you tools for going forward, you know, the next time something else happens. So that's what I get about it. But you're going to have to change your mind, because right now I just sense, and I don't even have to go to spirit about this part of it, I sense in your voice that you don't think it's going to work out. And so often, unconsciously, we would rather be right than happy, and we will sabotage things at this unconscious level that we're not even aware of, because we made a decision that something is going to have a specific outcome, and we don't understand or remember that at any given second we can change the outcome of something. So hopefully that helps a little bit.
No, that was that
Becky,
was.
Do you
very...
have anything to share? Becky,
no. Yeah, I'm here. No, I mean you have to sit with yourself. That's where it's all. It has to come from you.
Okay.
Obviously the universe wanted that. You know, the universe wanted your husband to, you know, be a father to this person. So certainly what, you know, the universe, certainly what the universe wants, and anything the universe wants is possible, because God or whatever you choose to call him only wants positive outcomes. But everyone involved is going to have to, you know, he can't just land and everyone go on business as usual. But again, there's never any, this is a opportunity that's being given to, you know, it's an opportunity that's being given to you to, so that there can be a lot of, healing. And it's also an opportunity that's being given to you that can, so that you can strengthen your marriage. And it has the possibility of doing all of those things as long as everyone's willing to, you know, as long as everyone's on the same page and has the same goal. So that might be something as well, as just, you know, figure out what's the goal here, you know, what's the goal here, and get everybody on the same, you know, the sun obviously would, I presume the sun would rather be off on his own, but there's some sort of circumstances that are causing him to have to boomerang back home for a while.
Well, he's a kid. He's not 18 yet.
but he's with his mom. But he's living with his mom, and he doesn't want to live with his mom anymore.
No. He wants to go to. They want to be in a better school district.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's a matter of being in a better school district.
Okay. Is your relationship?
I'm sorry.
I'm going to say this is as me. I was a child that grew up with, you know, in a blended family. I wish my stepmom would have reached out to me. I mean, I'm an adult now, but I just wish she would have reached out and wanted us kids more. But she never did. I mean, you know, I'm just thinking as a kid, it's a great opportunity.
To my credit, I have tried. And
okay.
I have tried, and
no.
I've tried, and I've tried. It's the women, it's the moms, it's the sisters, and it makes it difficult. And at some point, I have to make sure that I'm okay, and I can't keep extending
my
hand.
Right. Okay. I understand that. I didn't realize
that. Okay. Okay.
So if
no, go ahead.
So, I mean, I guess then maybe the answer really, you know, because the universe is presenting, the universe is presenting, even though you've tried, the universe is presenting this opportunity. You know, sometimes life just gives us the same lesson over and over and over again. Now, I mean, if you go inside your gut, you feel that there could be a different outcome this time, or do you feel like you were good? Because it's not going to work unless it works for everybody, and that includes you. So often women, and especially stepmothers, will, or the step-parent will make enormous sacrifices because they feel like that's part of what they signed up for. So if you don't think it's going to, you know, if I think it's important that you make a list of the reasons it hasn't worked, you know, that you've tried and it hasn't worked in the past, and, you know, look those issues square on and say, is there, has anything changed that would make the outcome this time different? And if there's not, then perhaps, you know, it's not the right thing. You know, perhaps you need to express to everybody that this is not going to work.
Okay.
Amy,
I look at everything
that the universe gives to me, every event, every person, every situation, every circumstance, I look at everything as an opportunity, because everything is an opportunity for us to heal or to grow, to heal some aspect of us that requires healing so that we can grow. And for Melissa, it doesn't necessarily mean that you saying yes, given the green light to have your stepson come in the house, is what the universe is looking for you to do. It may be that you have to set new boundaries that maybe you've been lackadaisical on. I'm not psychic. I'm just saying, the universe is constantly giving us things to heal and grow, as to heal aspects of us and to grow aspects of us. So it may be that the universe is presenting you an opportunity where your stepson should come into your household, because there's going to be value there for everybody, healing and growth. Or it could be you're presented with this opportunity to heal an aspect of you, perhaps to set your boundaries and clearly and say, no, we've done this before, it hasn't worked, we need to take a different course, but that is not an option any longer. So there is something, so look at this as an opportunity to reevaluate an aspect of you that requires healing and growth. And keep it about your healing, your growth, and you'll make the appropriate decision off of that.
I think we're definitely aligned. I just don't want to look like a monster because I say no. I definitely think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's clear. Just to parse this out as to what part. I mean, what I was getting from Spirit is that they really do want this. They really do want him to move. They really do want him to move in. But at the same time, like I said earlier, just from an earthly perspective, if it's not good for everybody, it's not going to be good. And the only person who, you know, in the short run, everyone will be hurt in the long run, but in the short run, you are going to take the, you know, because you're going to be, like you said, you're in the role where you can be made out to be the monster. And from all these different levels, and it's going to take the tolls on all these different levels. So I think really if you could just look at the reasons it hasn't worked in the past and try to say what's changed since the past and what's possible of, you know, realistically possible to change based on all the people that are involved in this, and the right answer will come. But once you've done that evaluation, sort of like if you were listening earlier when Becky was talking about her journey, once you've done that evaluation, it's going to be really important for you to leave the past, pack the past up in a box, and put it on a shelf for a while, and not bring the past into the present interaction. Because if you do bring the past into the present interaction, as far as this goes, it will indeed have the same outcome. There'll be no way for it to end any differently. But
exactly.
Certainly, sounds like you've got a clear vision. So at that, you know, at the end of the day, we can ask spirit, and they can tell us, you know, what heaven and nature wants for us. But unfortunately, in order for that to manifest, we have to look at free will. And right here, we're not just looking at your free will. It's not like you're the only person who has to do any of this heavy lifting here on Earth and carry the burden of this. Everyone's got to be, everyone has to be up for doing things differently, and everyone's got to be mature enough and courageous enough to live in the, you know, leave the past out of it. Leave the past out of it. So certainly,
and then they're not. So
okay. So then it's all going to fall on.
They're not.
I think on you. And,
yeah.
And Melissa, if they're not, then you just have to keep making sure that you do your part and making sure you do. It's about your healing and your growth. And if you just keep that focus on it, you really can take the emotional charge off of it. And that's what I also teach my clients. And I think Becky learned that as well. It's like you take the emotional charge off of the life events that are going on around you, where you can really see things with such clarity because the emotions are off the table, because you are in the present moment. The emotions come in from the past programming. We learn to be angry because, oh, we were angry 10 times in the past, so this is a repeat, I need to be angry. It's kind of like we keep carrying the past into the present, and we keep responding with the same emotion. But when you stay present, stay focused, and just maintain your own healing and your growth in every situation, you can take that emotional bite out of it, and you can make decisions with such clarity and without hurting anybody's feelings. It's never about hurting anybody's feelings. It's only about love. And it's a really cool place to make decisions from. So you can't do it for other people. You can only do it for yourself. But that's all you need to do it for, is yourself.
I'm not mad at anybody. For me, I have a habit of people pleasing and wanting to do the right thing and putting myself in situations that I probably had no business being in the first place. So
yep.
To me right now, it's like with the first, it was a beautiful reading. The first person to go, where she said it was, you know, you have a big heart, you want to do this, but yeah, and there is a caveat. It's that I am always giving, and I am always going above and beyond, and it's not appreciated, and it hasn't been appreciated. So now it's a situation where I've learned to kind of step back and allow people to, whatever choices people make is whatever they make. And I can't fix it, and I can't save it. And so now I'm at a place where I'm stepping back, and I'm noticing now people are like, well, wait a minute. Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And now I'm at a place where instinctively I want to say yes, because that's what I do. Like, you know what I mean? But my spirit's like, no, don't fix this. This is not your problem. Don't fix it. This is something people should have come to the table with and discussed very early on in the year, or, you know, a year and a half ago, because now we're at the place where it's like, okay, there's a huge transition. Don't fix this. It's not yours to fix.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that's,
and maybe
that's something for
the,
you to learn, which is different than the past, how you've responded in the past. So this is a whole new outlook for you.
Yes.
Great.
Yes, it is. Because normally I would have jumped into it and thought about it later.
Exactly. Especially women, we just want to rescue everybody. It's in our nature to rescue everybody, and then we forget to rescue ourselves. No one rescues us, and we expend all of our energy rescuing other people, assuming someone's going to come and rescue us. That's where all the fairy tales of the knights and shining armor and, you know, all these princes that come and save women from their bad decision-making. Because if you look at a fairy tale, you know, usually the way the princess that needs saving gets her, the only reason the princess needs saving is because she made a bad decision. So if you don't feel that, if you don't feel that this is going to, and then sometimes when you get to the point where you're just like, when you say, this is what I say at my day job, a lot, I don't care. But it's impossible for me not to care. Because then when I don't care about my work, I don't care about brushing my teeth. I don't care about taking a shower. I don't care about exercising. I don't care about anything. So, you know, take a long, hard look at the overall emotional toll that this is going to take. And if it's clear to you, you know, if it's clear to you and it looks like you've really looked at this situation from many different vantage points, and it's not like, oh, I just want him to myself or something, you know, that you have really given and given, then you're really going to be able to facilitate change and facilitate, you know, growth and allow the other people who are participating in this to experience their cause and effect. So so maybe they will be forced to change their mind and change their behavior. And then maybe it will work, you know, and then maybe it'll work later down the line. You know, maybe now it's really the way that you will all be a family is for you to put your foot down right now and say, in these current, you know, in this current situation, with this, no. And then when you say no, then something else will have to happen. And when we do things differently, that's how we find our way to the right way.
It's true. We're always making decisions off of our emotional vibration. Until we change that, and we can only change it by healing it or growing it, we're always going to produce the same exact results. Just maybe with different players, different people, different situations, but basically the same theme, where it just doesn't work out the way we expected. That's the theme.
Okay.
So these people have to heal and change. People have to heal the situation, otherwise they're going to produce the same result they always have.
Okay.
Exactly. Well, thank you for calling in, and feel free to call us back or call some of the other Psychics Gone Wild hosts and to get some more insight with this. And we wish you only the best. For those who are still holding, we have only 60 seconds left. So, Becky and Glenn, I'm so glad that you came on such short notice. And I really think that you just gave us a wonderful perspective. I think it's really important for all of us who call into these shows. I try to encourage the listeners and the people who call in for readings, is exactly what the two of you were talking about, is, you know, the role that we play in all of this. This is not magic. It's not like our spirit guides have, it's not like they're our fairy godmother with magic wands that can just make us ball gowns and turn pumpkins into coaches and all of that kind of stuff. We really need to take charge. So, Glenn, real quick, in the seconds that we have left, tell us what's the name of your book again and when can we expect it out?
Yep, my book is called Your Power to Create You, Unleash Your Inner Source of Abundance. And it will be out on Amazon.com probably around the 15th or 17th of July.
Fabulous. Fabulous. So that's just around the corner. So we can't wait.
It is. Just
and
a few
Becky,
weeks away.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be on. It's just so exciting to see how the how you grew with working with Glenn.
And I'm still growing.
And, yeah, it's very, very, it's very, very exciting.
Yep.
So it was good to talk to everybody again. And I'm still in the parking lot getting eaten by bugs. So I'm going to, with this, I'm going to sign off. And we will, all, hopefully we can have you guys back on the show again soon. So we can see what Becky's manifest, you know, so we can watch how this thing just gets better and better.
And it does,
so thank
too.
Thank you
both. So keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.